Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I'm Kylie Camps, and welcome to the podcast. This space is dedicated entirely to making a difference in the lives of women. I believe we all have a right and a responsibility to truly live our best lives. It all begins with curiosity, changing our thinking, and cultivating more self-love. Through thoughtful conversations and shared experiences, I really hope that you can take something away from this podcast. I'm a business owner, a speaker, a sleep consultant, and mum of twin boys. I've also recently completed some training in the cognitive behavioral therapy space, and I'm super, super passionate about the ability that we all have to really improve our days. And ultimately, when we take ownership of improving our days, we're really improving our whole life. So let's get stuck into today's episode. Welcome to today's episode. This podcast is a conversation with the wonderful Tabitha Fennell. We cover a lot of topics throughout this chat. We speak about dreams, we speak about acupuncture, spleen deficiency, burnout, diet, fun, energy, yin, yang, so many different things are covered in this chat, but they're all connected. As Tabitha explains, everything is connected. I first met Tabitha a couple of years ago at one of our events, and it was such a pleasure to connect with her. She is one of those people that when you meet, you just instantly feel drawn towards because she oozes confidence and authenticity, and she has such a warm energy. I think you'll really enjoy hearing more from Tabitha. Now, Tabitha does also have her own podcast with her lovely husband, Brad. It's called Turn On the Podcast. And that's actually how I connected with Tabitha, not through the podcast, but through her husband, Brad. He spoke at an event that we held a little while ago. And of course, she came along as his lovely date, and it was so nice to meet her. And ever since then, I've really enjoyed following her on social media and just connecting with her. And I need to get my butt into their studio in Burleigh, which is here on the Gold Coast, Studio Chi. And I will let Tabitha tell you a little bit more about herself, because I think it's always better coming from the actual person. But Tabitha has had Chinese medicine and acupuncture in her bones from a really, really young age, and she will explain all of that during our chat. I hope that you really, really enjoy this conversation, and I'm sure that you'll be able to take something away from this. As always, it would mean the world to me if you take a screenshot right now, pop it up on your Instagram, tag me at Kylie Camps. You can also tag Tabitha as well at Tabitha J Fennell, spelled F-E-N-N-E-L-L, so that we can reshare on our stories as well, because it really is a buzz to see what it is that you're up to or what you take away from these episodes and these conversations. So definitely do that. And I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Tabitha, thank you so much for making time over your weekend to have this chat with me. I'm really looking forward to learning more and hearing from you.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for having me, Kylie. Yeah, not a problem. I love talking about anything to do with acupuncture and women's health in general. So, yeah, it's great to be here.
Brilliant. Now, I've spoken a little bit about you in the introduction, but in your own words, could you tell our listeners about who you are and what it is that you do?
Great. Well, I'm a mum of three, married. I've been invested in my health since a very early age of 10 when I first was introduced to acupuncture and Chinese medicine. So I have my own business with my husband here on the Gold Coast for about the last 20-something years, and we treat a lot of with acupuncture and the Chinese medicine. Plus, we do one-on-one coaching. We've got our own little podcast called Turn on the Podcast. And, yeah, I just love working with women, their families and their husbands or girlfriends. It's in the clinic at Studio Qi at Burleigh where we are. It's just a whole big juicy referral of the people that we're treating. So the clients that we treat are, you know, dedicated to their health and they love acupuncture, and it's just a fun, beautiful environment to work in.
That's so nice to hear. Now, you mentioned that you were introduced to acupuncture at 10 years old.
Yes.
How did that happen? I'm just sat here thinking, 10's quite young to sort of go acupuncture, Chinese medicine.
Totally. Well, I've got my beautiful mum to thank for that. It was my sister who had onset asthma at puberty, and mum she's a chronic asthmatic, and she didn't want to go down the western side as much as she could, you know, do something different. So she just got on and researched, and she found this amazing acupuncturist who basically transformed our life. He worked with my sister. He really helped with clearing the lungs, but he also was in there with the Chinese medicine and helped us with the herbs. But we also changed our whole diet, our whole exercise therapy. So from then on in, whatever happened in our life, it was off to our acupuncturist. So at 10 was my first treatment of acupuncture, and I pretty well fell in love with it there. So throughout all my life, it's my go-to, the acupuncture and the Chinese herbs. So yeah, that's thanks to my mum and her for thinking back in the late 70s. That's where she took.
Yeah, quite ahead of her time there, kind of thinking outside the box.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. So no, we stripped back our pantries and got rid of the white sugar. We were eating kelp on our food. We changed our salt. It was a big the way mum cooked, she was changed. It was amazing, actually. Yeah.
And it's interesting because part of me thinks you could go one of two ways there. You know, you could go down that path of going, oh, this is amazing and this is going to become how I want to live moving forward. Or at 10, yes, you could really rebel against that and go like, you know what, the moment I'm out of this house,
totally,
is it. I'm going to take all the antibiotics, I'm going to eat all the processed food.
Totally.
So how fortunate that you went this way. Yes. And I'm sure that all of your clientele would agree. And you mentioned there at your studio on the Gold Coast, you do have such a loyal clientele. And I know myself, even I've recommended friends come and visit you or Brad, and then become devoted everything that you guys do. So you're definitely onto it.
Yes.
Now, I'd love to know, in your work, what do you enjoy the most? Like, what do you love to do?
Yeah, look, I love working with the hormones with women. But it goes deeper than that. You know, hormones are great, but behind the hormones, there's always emotion that's blocked usually. So even though I'm a traditional Chinese medicine acupuncturist, I've also bring in skills from dream work and process-orientated psychology that I use in the treatment as well. So I love to see people getting that aha moment about their life and their problems. You know, call it a coach, call it intuition, call it years of experiencing the same sort of patterns that come in. I love turning people on, really, back to their life. You know, I love seeing that light come back on to go, oh, that's why I'm feeling like that. That's why my body is doing these weird things. That's why my hormones aren't working so well. That's what I love to do, Kylie, just turning people back on. freedom.
I can imagine it would just be so rewarding to see the whole cathartic process of someone coming to you with an initial concern. And then, like you said, there's always so much more below the surface. And you touched on dreams.
Yes.
Now, how do you work with women and their dreams? Do you ask them to keep a dream journal? Do you think people know what their dreams mean intrinsically when they really think about it?
Yeah, look, I really like to work with your first ever dream, your mythical dream, which is what you have. Usually people remember that really scary dream they had as a kid, and it can be repetitive. And that in sort of Jungian psychology is really where it maps out the whole of your life myth. What you're pushing up against, what is your, what you've got to learn here in life, that's what your childhood dream is all about. So if we can tap into that, there's usually places in your life where this keeps coming up, not in that dream sense, but what the dream means to you. So I love to work and open that and give them some skills on how to look at that dream further and then implement what they need to do in life to actually grasp their myth in life and go forward.
Oh my gosh, I was just going to say it's so interesting that you are speaking about this, and I think that, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways, and I know that you and I, we didn't even say, oh, let's talk about dreams in a conversation.
Yeah.
But when you were just talking then, Tabitha, I was like, I know exactly what my dream is from childhood that was the reoccurring dream for me. I can see it so clearly. And
yes,
would it be appropriate if I tell you what it is?
I'd love it. Yeah, if you're up for it, totally.
Yeah, of course. I always had this reoccurring dream about being kidnapped, and it was always in a convertible car.
Yes.
And I was in the back of the car, the top was off, and my hair was blowing in front of my face, and I had been kidnapped.
Okay.
And that was the dream that I always had.
I love it. And they're huge dream doors. We call them dream doors to take you in, Kylie, to go, okay, you know, you've been kidnapped, you're in a convertible, you're the top's off, your hair's flowing. Oh my God, it just sounds like when I hear this dream, I just go, oh my God, that's you. That's you in your wild, authentic state. You know, there's mystery there, there's excitement, there's your hair's flowing. I can feel the wind around my neck, there's sensuality there. Is any of this resonating to you?
Yeah, well, I've not really thought to unpack this dream. It was just when you were saying we all have this recurring dream,
yeah.
It just came to me so vividly. Like I can just remember as a kid having that dream all the time.
Yes.
And now speaking about it, I can definitely see themes of control. Yeah. Like control is a big one for me.
I
had an eating disorder in my early 20s. That's kind of a behavior that when I'm feeling out of control in life, I'm very tempted to go back towards.
Totally.
So I imagine that there's some sort of direct correlation between feeling out of control and being kidnapped.
Oh, definitely.
Or being removed.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what you're going to come up in your life throughout your life, probably until you die, there will be that control aspect that you can actually learn to release a little bit more and drop into your body and feel that sensuality to know you're safe and that you have got skills to not be kidnapped, to not be out of control. So we could go further into there's so many dream doors in there that we could take you down one to you know, open up and look into. But yeah, that control is one side of the picture, and it's usually opposites. You know, there's probably a part of you that needs to learn control, but there's also another part of you that so needs to just let go and feel your sensuality and drive that convertible and be that wild, amazing woman that you are.
So fascinating. And so when women come to you and you start working with all aspects of their life, and in particular just because we're speaking about dreams,
is it
common that people know their dream? Because I just can imagine that there'll be people listening going, oh, I can't think of a reoccurring dream.
Exactly. And some people do. They don't. Like for me, I cannot remember my first childhood dream, but I can remember when I was around 9 months old and I actually stood up by myself in the lounge room, and the only person or the only thing that was there was my dog who was watching me. So that was my first childhood memory. So if you
at
can't,
9 months old.
Yes, I remember that dream. Okay. I know, it's bizarre, hey? I mean, other people are like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years even. So if you don't remember that dream early on, it's your first ever memory of a child, which, you know, for that, for me, it was standing up and I could feel the balance and I was like, oh my goodness, I can stand without my, you know, by myself. And the only person that was watching me was the dog. And it's, that's been a big theme in my life about standing up for who I am and not really having to have any other people around me watching me or giving me anything but the dog energy. That's another big energy in my life as well. So yeah, if you don't have a dream, don't freak out. There'll be some memory that pops up into your head. And even there's night dreams, but there's also daytime dreaming. So there's themes that will come and flirt with you through your awakening hours that we can tap into as well.
So many different elements.
There totally is. There's dream doors everywhere to take you deeper into yourself and what you're up against in life.
Dream doors. I love that terminology. And even just hearing you speak about how, you know, the dog energy has been important for you. My little animal that always seems to rear its head in interesting situations is a frog.
Ah, I like it. Frog energy. Yes.
Yeah. Interesting, huh?
Interesting. And that's where we could go into and take you into actually feeling really into that frog energy. What does it resonate? What is it speaking to you? What is the essence of that frog? What is it wanting you to get in life? You know, is it, I don't know, what is it for you, Kylie? What's the, if you just sort of the first thing that comes into your head, frog energy is?
Yeah. Do you know what? I was like, oh gosh, she's going to ask you. I don't know.
Right.
It's just that, like, when there's been stressful times in my life, a frog will appear out of seemingly nowhere. Like, you and Brad know that both Matt and I went through a really, really tough time. And that's when, again, the frog kept coming up to the forefront. Like, I kept seeing frogs, green tree frogs everywhere. Yeah. And even recently, like, just the other day, I brought in the washing and I was folding the washing and there's a green tree frog in the laundry. And growing up, my dad never called me Kylie. Like, I was froggy from as young as I can remember. And so it's just going, oh, this reoccurring frog.
Yeah, I love it. We need to do a session. We need to unfold this girl.
I know.
There's so much beauty and, oh, yeah, juice in that, you know?
So interesting. Now, what would you say are some of the most common reasons that women in particular come to see you? Like, is it burnout? Is it to do with hormones? Like, what's the thing that they think is the concern? And then I'm sure you unpack it and you go so much deeper. But what's the number one thing when women book in?
Yeah, it's probably a combination of hormones, digestion, and depending where they are with having babies or not having babies, it can be a little bit of burnout as well, because let's face it, women these days are doing everything, and it's usually their kidney energy that is burnt and is burning, and they need a lot of a resuscitation, a reset of their adrenals. But then, of course, that interrupts with the spleen energy as well and the stomach energy. And digestion is, you know, it's all about your transformation and transportation of your nutrients. So when that's out of whack, and as we know, and now Western society is catching up, that the digestive center, it's the hub, you know, if that's not working properly, then every other organ in the body will become not so stable and not so strong. So digestion is a big thing with women I work with. And acupuncture is just so amazing, and the Chinese herbs to work with that. But also hormonal, PMT, period pain, PCOS, you know, all those, endometriosis, trying to fall pregnant, women who are coming off the pill. It's just anything hormonal, women are starting now to go acupuncture. And usually they might come in with a digestive digestive, constipation, diarrhea, bloating. That's a huge sign and symptom of spleen deficiency. And they'll come in with that and we start to peel back the layers. They might even come in with sore neck and shoulders. And in Chinese medicine, that is actually the liver gallbladder area. So I say to them, so how are your periods? And then it'll start to unravel. Oh, well, I really get bad PMS. Oh, I'm very anxious. I'm very highly strung. So acupuncture is just such a beautiful, it's very holistic. We look at all angles and it's not just one organ that's usually out of whack. There's usually a few players in there that need rebalancing, and that's what acupuncture does.
And I think that you're so right there, because so many people, like just people that I know in my life, like the people closest to me, will be exploring things with their GP or going down the route of having scans and ultrasounds and all of these things. And it's like we're not getting any answers on what's going on.
Yes.
But then when you do start to explore it again, sort of, you know, from a more holistic approach, looking at acupuncture and Chinese herbs and medicine and whatnot, you start to realize how it is all so connected.
Totally.
And that's how I came across the term spleen deficiency. After I had my breast reduction and breast lift, I was suffering from extreme bloating, like to the point, Tabitha, where I literally was like my stomach, and I've got videos of it because like people wouldn't believe it otherwise. You say, oh, I'm bloated, and people are like, oh, how cute, you're a bit bloated.
No,
legitimately looked 9 months pregnant.
Totally.
To the point that when I sent through videos and photos to my surgeon who was in Sydney, he flew me back down because he's like, something's not right. Like something is off here.
Gotcha.
And so I went through so many processes of having scans, ultrasounds, blood work, all of these things.
Yes.
And, you know, it was on and off for a good year to 18 months. And I began working with a naturopath, and she straight away said to me, look, I think you are experiencing spleen deficiency.
Yes.
And that was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And then it's like a bit of a Bader Meinhof thing, because then all of a sudden spleen deficiency, the term was everywhere. And I'm like, aha, it's a thing.
Yes.
Totally a thing. So I would love to explore it with you in today's conversation, because bloating is a big one. And for me, I think that I've worked out it's all stress. When I'm stressed, I hold my breath. I'm not digesting food well. And I just swell right up. But talk us through what is spleen deficiency? What does it mean? How does it show up? And how can we manage it?
I love it. Great. Well, spleen deficiency, spleen is your yin organ, and your stomach is your yang organ. And they work together. So when you are spleen deficiency, your digestion's not working properly. So you're not transforming your food into nutrients, and you're not transporting that nutrients to build good blood to give you energy. So when the stomach and spleen aren't working properly, totally you get that bloating, because your food just hits your stomach goes, you know what, I'm not digesting this today. So then there's a lot of gas in there. There's a lot of fermenting foods that are not being digested properly. So you get the bloating. You also get the craving of sweets. Some women, the earth element is the stomach and spleen, and it's the sweet element. But when your spleen is not working very well, you crave sweets, and that's how we get our energy back, but it's a false energy. So you should have a little bit of sweet in your diet, but not a lot. And if you're really craving sweets, then your digestion is not well. Weight gain, you know, women who are trying to lose weight and they're exercising and they're eating really well and they just can't lose weight, that's a spleen deficiency. But not to say that women who are a little bit overweight or very overweight, it can be a spleen deficiency in very thin people as well. So they're not in thin people with the spleen deficiency, they're not absorbing their nutrients, but their body isn't holding on to the weight as women who are a little bit more overweight. Their body just, they can't digest or transform that food. So the body just goes, okay, we're going to store it. Doesn't matter what you put in this body, we can't break it down, we can't utilize it, we're just going to store it. And that's where they have the problem with losing weight. They get spleen deficiency. It makes you feel heavy. It makes you feel tired. You can get like fluid retention in your limbs, especially your lower limbs.
Really puffy.
Puffy, that's the one. Yep. So you get puffy ankles and feet. And women can say, I jumped on the scale and I've put on 500 grams and the next morning it's off, but then it'll come back again. And that's the transformation of the fluids is not being properly utilized throughout the body. We tend to get cold hands and feet. That's another sign of spleen deficiency. And then you can go from loose bowel to going number twos three or four times a day to being constipated. That's another sort of spleen deficiency. And it's no fun at all because 1 minute you're running to the toilet, the next minute you're not. You're so backed up and it's a horrible feeling. There's a tiredness and an insomnia that goes with spleen deficiency, which is more related to overthinking. So you're off to sleep and you're laying there in bed and you're just overthinking. Because in Chinese medicine, every organ has a different emotion and to it, where the spleen is all about overthinking, worrying and reminiscing. So if you're an overthinker, you're going to destroy your digestive system. But then if you don't, it's not fair, is it? But then
no,
if totally. And how much do we think, us women, you know?
We're
thinking about what are we going to do next, where are we going, who's this, where's that, all our tabs are open constantly and more are piling up in the background. So overthinking destroys your spleen. So, you know, meditation and coming back to the present moment. And it has a lot to do with it. Like I say to people, how do you eat? When do you sit down to eat breakfast, lunch and dinner? And most of them kind of roll their eyes and go, well, I'm at my computer, you know, eating something, or I'm looking after the kids trying to eat food while they're running around or trying to get them to eat. And we're not being present with our eating. So that's another big tool, is to actually chew really well, which allows your stomach to go, oh, here comes the food. Great. Now we can digest it. When you're thinking about eating, when you're tasting the flavors of your food and looking at the colors, you're not thinking about other things. You're staying present. So being present while you're eating is a big key for spleen deficiency as well, to help that.
I feel like you've described so many things that so many women are dealing with. Like, yes. Every woman in my life and so many women that I speak with online are speaking about feeling fatigued.
Yes.
Also having, like, being exhausted, but having trouble sleeping.
Oh my
also
goodness.
Being bloated. And then, like, yep, you said, the 1 minute having to go to the bathroom all the time. And yes, then the next thing being constipated.
Yes.
We're always eating on the run, you know.
Yes.
We're stood in the kitchen shoveling something,
yes,
down our throat while we're doing something else with our right hand, and our left hand doing,
yep,
something else, and
yep,
our mind is out to lunch on another task.
Totally.
There are so many things that you touched on that are, you know, fall under the umbrella of spleen deficiency that are just part of our lives, I feel.
Yes.
I would love to know if there are any women who are exploring their fatigue or their bloating with their GP, like say that they're in the stage of trying to figure this out with Western medicine.
Sure.
Are there any markers or any indicators when you're looking at blood work and that sort of thing that directly correlate to the spleen deficiency in Chinese medicine?
Not that I can think of. Probably the biggest thing would be anemic, if you're anemic.
Mm.
If you're B vitamins. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
If your B vitamins are low, because once again, if your digestion is not working well, you cannot absorb these nutrients.
Mm.
And the other side of the hormonal side of a spleen deficiency is, you know, amenorrhea, where you don't get your period, or light periods, or spotting throughout your cycle. And this is a big marker of saying you're not producing enough blood. And funnily enough, the spleen in China, in Western medicine, helps with your white blood cell, your immunity, but it also helps build blood. So if your digestion is not working and you're not absorbing nutrients, your blood volume will be low, and hence anemia, and your periods will flow from that, or they won't flow. So, you know, they're going to be very light, short, or none at all. So blood markers, I'd say mostly it's your, yeah, your vitamin B's deficient, and also anemia is a big one.
I'm just sat here, like, head in the air, nodding.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's me.
Yeah.
Period goes for 3 days on the third day, like it's hardly anything at all.
Wow.
That is just so
me.
Okay, and the iron as well. I had an iron infusion maybe 12 months ago, and it did make a difference for sure.
Yes.
But it's so fascinating just exploring the spleen deficiency.
Yes.
And so I have no doubt we will have thousands of women listening who are nodding along going, yep, that's me.
Yes.
How can we manage it?
Yeah.
You spoke about being mindful with food. I know that's a big one.
Definitely.
But what else do we need to consider?
Great. It's so simple, but it's what we have moved away from in the West. And you've got to treat your stomach like the pot, where you're going to put all your food into the pot, and your kidneys are like the fire energy that heats up that pot and digests the food. So we're already adrenal fatigued. We're already kidney yang, which is the fire of the body, deficient. So if you're putting cold raw foods, hence salads out of the fridge, or if you're on a raw food diet, or if you're having smoothies that have got cold frozen beans and berries and bananas in, and then you put more ice to add it, even make it even colder, that is just taking your digestive fire out completely. And a lot of women, you know, unfortunately, are trying to be healthy and fit, so they're going for the salads and they're eating really well.
The acai bowls.
Oh, the acai bowls. God, I cannot have them. No woman should be having acai bowls unless you.
Oh, and they're so delicious.
I know.
I can't stomach them because it makes me feel so sick. Yeah.
Obviously, and I bet you bloat straight after. And that's the key. It's like, what makes you bloat? Can you put, you know, 2 cubes of bananas in your smoothie and you don't bloat? But if you put 2 cubes of banana plus 3 just ice cubes, you'll bloat. So how much can your digestion take? So it's all about coming back to really feeling how after you eat does your body feel. So the things you need to be having are warm, nourishing foods. So stews, broths, get your slow cooker out and make up a beautiful broth full of yummy food, chicken soups. Those sorts of things really feed the spleen, and they take less energy for your body to break down, and your energy will come back, and you'll be able to build blood, and you won't get the bloating. And I'm not saying that, especially here in Queensland, I know you'll have listeners from all over the world, it's very hot most of the time. So we can have a little bit more cold raw foods. But in even saying that, I would take the salads out of the fridge, leave them on the kitchen bench.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let it cool down to, you know, room temperature, because that chill will go straight into your stomach and it'll just knock your digestive fire out. So it's not so much, you know, this food's not good or that food's not good. It's the warmth of the food. You need warm, nourishing food. And as soon as I tell women that, they're like, no, but I love my salads and I love the cold smoothies. And then they have a week even a couple of days of transforming that and making stews and broths, and they feel so much better. They've just got more life. They've got more energy. The bloating stops. The diarrhea stops. It's a big transformation quite quickly, actually, with just as simple, you know, dietary aspects. Adding a little bit of ginger into, if you do stir fries, have ginger, you know, in your salads, have rocket, more pungent herbs that light up your digestive system. And ginger is so good at doing that. Plus rocket, rosemary, turmeric, all those sorts of, a little bit spicy. Not, you don't want to go down the chili road. That's a bit too hot for the digestion. But pungent foods are very good. Warming foods are the best for a spleen deficiency type person.
And it's so in line with when I was speaking with the naturopath about my bloating, because she said to me, okay, you know, like, what's an average day of eating look like for you? And I was saying to, like, I kind of rattled everything off, and included in that, it was definitely two big salads a day at least. Such a salad person. Also, I always prefer to eat my fruit frozen, like frozen banana.
My God, yes.
That's like my favorite thing. Frozen berries. Like, I would, you know, when I was, I'm not now, but when I was working with the naturopath, when she was saying to me, like, what's your day like? I'd be like, well, I'd have like a cup of frozen blueberries as a snack, or a frozen banana as a snack, like cut up with peanut butter on it. And these are the things that, like, I so love to eat. And it makes me remember, I can remember years ago hearing someone, and I can't remember where I heard it, but someone said to me, the things that you're craving are often exactly what you should avoid.
Exactly.
Is there truth to that?
There's so much truth in that.
Tabitha.
I know. Sorry. It is always the way. Yeah, people look at me in the clinic every day and go, what do you mean? I love, like you've just said, I love my cold raw food. I always have my fruit cold, you know, I always have my salads crisp, but it's like, no, you've got to give your digestive time, a little bit of time to regenerate, to reboot. And then you can start to bring back in those colder foods. But probably, Kylie, if you brought back those bananas and the blueberry, you would feel it, that your digestive system doesn't feel so well afterwards. You know, you would feel your energy drop, and you probably would take a mouthful of them and sort of go, yeah, you know what, I'm not going to do that. So the body does tell us if we listen. And if you're having the cold raw foods, chew really well. Be like a cow who just chews and chews and chews, because you warm that coldness up in your mouth. You get the digestive fire ready in your stomach, and then your stomach and spleen can deal with it. So it's a new way of being, really, to treat the spleen.
And I am like the exact person that does everything wrong. Because like, even just listening to you too, like, I feel like I've got a good grip on it now, but Kylie, 12 months ago, even eating, because I have 7-year-old twins, so I'm rather busy, but before that, I was a flight attendant, which is literally hoovering food in a galley. I was a hairdresser, which is hoovering food.
Oh my goodness. And thinking what you're going to be doing next. And it's a tricky one, isn't it? Yes.
Absolutely. Now, the other thing that I would love to just touch on when it comes to food, and the, you know, the cold food versus the warm food, do you, when you're working with women, also consider eating towards their cycle?
As in, like, not as much food at certain times of the cycle?
Well, just something that I've been exploring lately and having a lot of conversations with my girlfriends about is, you know, when you're in the luteal phase, what are the foods that make you feel great? They can be quite different versus the foods that when you're menstruating make you feel great. And just noticing where you are in your cycle and being mindful. I just know that I can handle, you know, a lot more fruit in a certain phase of my cycle versus when I'm actually premenstrual. Like, I just not paying a bit more attention to that sort of stuff.
I love it. I love it. It's being body aware, isn't it? And when you're building, you know, eggs, if you're wanting to become pregnant, well, then protein and your broths and your stews are probably the best way to go there. But when you're coming up to menstruating and even menstruating, to back off, because there's so much energy going on in that system. The digestion takes so much energy from us. So, you know, even I've been fasting 18 hours a day at the moment, about 3 to 4 times a week. And I'm just finding that there's so much that not overloading your digestive system is a real key element to help supporting your spleen as well. So I'm not menstruating anymore. I'm in perimenopause, going on to menopause, believe it or not. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I am. So I don't have that bleeding phase, but when I did, to not eat heavily really helps the body with your energy, with cramps, and with your general energy. I would try and lighten up on the food when you're menstruating, for sure.
So interesting, isn't it? Mm. And we've spoken about women having a lot of opened tabs and the overthinking side of life that we seem to do so well, which can often leads towards feeling burnt out. What would be some of your top tips for women to cope with that burnout?
Yeah, come and get some acupuncture. find a good acupuncture. I'm very biased, but it is so good at tonifying the yang in the body. The yang is our power. It's our positivity. It's our getting out there. It's our passion in the world. And that needs to be nurtured. And the Chinese herbs are very good for that as well, to build that kidney yang. So, you know, simple things that you can do is legs up the wall. It's a beautiful pose because it pulls the blood into the uterus, but also into the kidneys, and your kidneys are in your lower back. So legs up the wall once a day is great. At least 1.5 liters of water in the morning side, you know, try and sort of get all your water drunk by 3 o'clock, then you're not weeing all night long. Your stews and your broths, that's another great thing for kidney yang deficiency. Resting, burnout, you just can't push through it. And I know that's a really hard and crazy thing to say to women, but we really have to go, where can I rest? Where can I nap? What nurtures me? Notice when you're pushing. With burnout, I'm keeping going back to kidney yang deficiency because that's what it is. You can't push through this because you'll just go deeper and deeper into your essence, into your jing, which is the Chinese word for, you know, it's given to you at your birthright, is your jing. And you've only got so much jing. And if you eat into that, your life will become shorter. So you need to rest. Rest
we
is a
really
big...
We really need to normalize resting, don't we?
We totally do. Oh, my goodness. I have an acupuncture 15-minute treatment, and it just takes me into like a deep shavasana yin state, because that's what acupuncture does as well. It takes you into that beautiful yin floaty state that it makes the kidneys relax, and it stops that fight and flight. It reverses the cortisol, the adrenals, which keep us going, which keep us awake at night. And that's where acupuncture is so good, or napping and resting, because it brings you back, and meditation. It unlocks you from that go, go, go energy that burns you out. Your kidneys can only take so much.
So important. And I think that, you know, in the last 10 years in particular, there's been such a focus on do more, hustle, get it done, have a side hustle.
Yes.
Of course you can do it all. And I think that we've kind of come full circle now to go, you know, yeah, you can do it all, but that doesn't mean that you should do it all. And we need to rest.
Totally. And is it making you happy doing it all? You know, it's like, no, probably not. How are you feeling? Is dropping back into your purpose and what you need to be doing in life for your health and your longevity. Because in youth, we've got a lot of jing, so we can, you know, go for it and like you said, hustle and dive into our kidney energy. But as we get older, no, the body's not going to let us do that. And because we are putting more pressure on ourselves younger, the burnout rate is, you know, 30s, 40s, not 50s, 60s. It's getting shorter because we are using our body and brain and mind and everything way too much.
And more so much more available to us around the clock. You know, even growing up, like on Sundays, the shops weren't opened. Nowadays, it's like everything's open on a Sunday, of course.
Yes,
it would be strange if it wasn't.
Yep.
And even to go further to say, like, we used to, you know, growing up, everyone, like I'm 33. The other day I was like, am I 32 or 33? I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing up, at the end of the day, we'd sit and watch TV, and then the TV would get turned off and we'd go to bed. But nowadays we take our screens after we watch TV and we take them to the bathroom. We take them to the bedroom.
Yes.
We take them everywhere. There's less time that we're actually switching off.
Totally. Yep. Exactly. And I think for me, nature is a really good place to go to switch off. And all I have to do is, we're on acreage where we live, I just have to walk out the front door and I've got birds, I've got the greenery, and I think we can all do it. We've all got nature around us. So Mother Nature is an amazing teacher of slowing down and connecting yourself to the earth, connecting yourself to your uterus down deep into the earth. That's how you can drop into yourself and rest in a deep, deep way.
I love that. So important.
It is.
I also just wanted to ask, whilst I have you, about your opinion on caffeine, because
you're not going to like it.
No, I think I think that it will be in line with what I believe to be true anyway, Tabitha, because a year ago, I don't know whether it was a year or 2 years ago, maybe.
Yes.
Anyway, I remember it was the 1st of December, so it's either been a year or 2 years, but I made the switch from proper coffee to only decaf if I'm having a coffee.
Yep.
And I can remember the day so clearly because I made this decision on a day that I was taking the kids to Dreamworld on my own. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. So I was experiencing caffeine withdrawal and freaking 5 or 6 year old twins at Dreamworld. It was a time, I'll tell you that much.
I love it.
But I have never felt better in terms of reducing my caffeine intake and being really, really mindful of how much I'm taking on board. I still only drink decaf coffee now.
I love it.
So talk to me. Talk to me about caffeine, because so many mums out there in particular, they're having 3 to 4 cups of coffee a day because that's what they feel they need to get through the day.
Exactly. And caffeine is great. It takes you up. But unfortunately, it bang takes you down real quick. And what it takes from you, it takes from your kidney. Once again, I'm going back to that kidney yang, which is your base energy. So it fires you up. It gets your adrenals going and you're like, yes, I can do this. I've got lots of energy. Let's go, go, go. But then it drops you real hard on the other side and it actually takes from your system. It's also very dehydrating. You know, they say 1 cup of coffee is about 1.5 glasses of water that you need to be having back in your body when you're drinking coffee. So if you're having 3 to 4 cups a day, I'd be trying to back it off to at least 1, or like you, go on the decaf. There's some great decafs out there. Make sure it's water strained, because there's some horrible chemical decafs out there, but that's how they get the decaf out, is through chemicals. So just watch what you're drinking with the decaf. But yeah, it hits your adrenals hard and it gives you the up, but it'll take from your coffee, unfortunately. So once again, more water, more exercise, gentle exercise, more things that bring you joy to give you energy, basically, rather than coffee. It's not a good thing, unfortunately.
I guess it comes back to what we were saying before about often what you're actually craving is what you don't need.
Totally.
Like feeling like, oh, I need my coffee fix, rather than going, that's my body telling me I need caffeine.
Yes.
Perhaps flip that on its head and go, that's my body saying I really should not be reaching for caffeine.
Totally. And what does it need in that moment? Oh my God, I just need to sit out on the grass, or actually I need to go back and have a nap, or I need to organize a babysitter. Like, I think we just push past our body, which is an amazing tool, and it's telling us every day what we should be doing. And unfortunately, like you said, we've got so many roles and we're doing, and we think we have to do more, but actually sometimes doing less is more in the long run. So caffeine It's I met a naturopath many years ago. She said the only good thing that coffee is for is to be put up your bottom for an enema.
Oh, there you go.
She said it should go in no other orifice other than your bottom.
There you go. What a lovely visual. I know that the coffee enemas, they were quite a buzz for a while there a few years ago in the health industry. So not a foreign concept.
No, not at all.
Something that you just mentioned there, Tabitha, that I wanted to circle back and highlight for our listeners, because I've shared this before as a journal prompt, but to really get into the habit of asking yourself, what do I need? So often we're thinking our kids need this, my partner needs that, the bills need this from me, the house need that, blah, blah, blah. Everyone needs something.
Yes.
But you're not actually checking in and going, what is it that I need? And I think the more that we can encourage women to ask themselves that question, the better.
Totally. Putting ourselves first is paramount. You know, I often ask my clients, where are you on the list of husband, wife, kids, career, jobs? And usually they're right down the bottom. And I think us as women, we need to retrain ourselves and put ourselves first and who we are and what we need first, because let's face it, we're the mama bears. Everything, if we're feeling great in our body, doesn't the household and career run perfectly? If we're feeling overrun and deficient, then everything around us turns crazy. So it is, we're training ourselves to put ourselves first and then see what comes up when you do, because a lot of the time there's a critic there that's sitting on your shoulder going, Tabitha, look at you putting yourself first, or whatever it's saying. Have a conversation with that critic just to go, you know what? No, I'm putting myself first because it's good for me, but it's also good for my family, my friends, my career. There can be things that block us from actually taking time out for ourselves and putting us first. And to work on those and be aware of those things makes that journey a little less more joyous and easy on us.
I think that you're so right. And often we think that, you know, the definition of being a good mum or a good partner is to be that martyr.
Yeah.
But really, it doesn't serve anyone. And more than ever, I believe it's so true that we are so responsible for the energy in the household.
Yes.
It's true. On my shitty days, I'm like, why are the kids acting like this? But on my good days, they're acting exactly the same.
Totally.
It's just the way that I'm taking it. So I think that being responsible for the energy we bring into a room and, you know what, going, we are the glue. We are the glue that keeps this household together. So I'm going to look after myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and joy. Joy and fun. It's probably my big mantra of last year and this year going into menopause is, you know what, if things don't make me feel joyful and I'm not feeling like, this is good for my soul, I'm just not going to do it anymore. So that's been an interesting peeling back of friendships and workload and mother load and
I can imagine. A whole different season.
Exactly. And it's been so refreshing. And so actually once I do it, the family and friends and career and everything around me just settles into, that's who she is. That's what she runs that way now. They soon get hold of it and run with it, you know. But it was more me thinking, they can't be like that. They won't like me or I'll disappoint people. But you know, whatever, people will be disappointed no matter what you do.
I love that. And it's been on my mind so much as well, because I think going through a marriage breakdown and also having young children get older, like having the boys now been at school for a couple of years and no longer being someone's wife, there's such a shift in identity or what I self-identified as being really important.
Wow.
And in the last year, it's like, okay, you know what? I want to be really mindful of the parts that I pick and choose to self-identify with. And just hearing you speak then, Tabitha, about fun, and what I'm hearing from you is authenticity. Sometimes authenticity means letting certain friendships or endeavors slide away because they're just no longer authentic to who you are.
Yes, totally. And you know, with you just saying that, then it brought me back to your childhood dream with that hair flowing and the tops off and you're racing, even though you're kidnapped. It's like, yeah, who does Kylie want to be? Where is her joy? Where is her bliss? Mm. I love it. You're onto it, girl.
More scratching the surface. But
yeah, but that's what life's about, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. 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 I feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours, and I'm going to book in for a session for sure.
Yeah, great. Love it.
But I would love to finish up our conversation today with a few rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
And funnily enough, the first one is about fun.
Yes.
Because as women, all too often we put fun, you know, we don't even have fun on the list.
Yes.
So I would love to know, what is something that you do that is pure fun just for you?
Actually, it's my yoga practice, but it's also I've started bouldering at Alpine Bouldering Clinic down in Robina, and I love it. It's just using my body in a different way. It brings me joy at the strength and how I can adapt and move my body. It's joyful. It's really weird.
Bouldering, rock climbing?
It is, without the actual, you don't have to wear a harness. It's, you just climb up the wall basically, and there's different grades of climbing. And so you don't need to, you can just go by yourself, which I love to do. And it's just such a fantastic community down there, really juicy people to hang out with too. So yeah, bouldering. And dancing, that's what my two joyful things in my life. So, and you can do them dancing anywhere.
Very cool. I love that. I'm always interested, especially when there's something that I've not heard of before. Like when you said bouldering, straight away I thought rock climbing because I know that Brad, your lovely husband, is a rock climber. So straight away my head went there. I would never think to do that. So I love that suggestion.
Cool. Yeah, it's good fun.
Next, do you have a favorite book or a book that you often recommend?
Yes, Women Who Run with Wolves by Clarissa Esther Perel. It's an amazing book and it's like a Bible to me. I'll just go back to it. I've read it about I don't know how many million times, but now I just use it as I go, I open it up and I read the chapter or the page, and she's just such an amazing person.
Women Who Run with Wolves. Did you say that's by Esther Perel?
Clarissa Pinkola. Clarissa. Sorry, I got that mixed up. Yeah, not, but I love
it. Esther Perel is Esther Perel.
Yeah,
as well,
she's amazing too. Yes.
Books too. And I was like, I didn't know she'd written that one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I'll have to check it out anyway. It sounds great.
Yep.
What is a habit of yours that you're really proud of?
Resilience and open-heartedness. I've got a very big heart and I like to bring people joy and find their purpose. So, yeah, I think that would be me. But it's also been my nemesis as well. I have to watch myself of how much I give, but I'm really learning that in life, to give openly and receive as much as I give out.
The old duality of the double-edged sword. Huh?
Exactly. You got it, girl. Yeah.
And speaking of, what is a habit that you're least proud of? Do you have an annoying habit?
Yeah.
Should we ask Brad?
Cleaning the house. It's a really annoying habit that I have that I'm trying to drop to have my house in certain order. I can get a bit OCDC. So I'm learning to just flow with it a bit more and not be so, oh, my God, that's got to go back there and this has got to be like this. You know, I'm trying to sort of get a little bit more hazy and fuzzy in my life and not be so OCD that there's mess in the house, like big deal. We're having fun.
Well, I'm sure that having three boys helps you to relax a little bit into that haze.
Oh my God, it does, totally.
I can only imagine. Do you have a morning routine?
I do. I like to get up early and I like to drink water. I usually have a cup of tea of some herbal type and I go and sit out. I've got a beautiful little platform that I sit in outside, and you know, sometimes I'm there for 2 seconds, but I tap into myself, I tap into my feminine essence and the earth, and then I'm ready to go for the day.
I love that. And last but not least, do you have a favourite quote or some words that you live by?
Yeah, funny you say that. My mantra, which I'm not sure who it's by or who it's from at the moment, is I'm not dead yet.
That's a good one.
It is great. It's like when anything that sort of is phasing me or, you know, I'm not enjoying something or it's challenging or even in the good moments, it's like I'm not dead yet. Really absorb this. Really be here. Really be present. This is it. This is one day I will be dead, but I'm not dead yet. So
it's similar to this too shall pass, because you can think of that in the hard times.
Yes.
Like, yep, this will pass, but you also need to think of it in the good times too. Like when everyone's happy and great, it's like, this will pass too.
Actually, and absorb it in, allow it to permeate into your heart and feel it.
Mm. I'm not dead yet. Good one. Tabitha, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. I'm sure that our listeners will want to connect with you. You have your podcast, which is Turn On the Podcast.
You got it. Yep. That's what
you have.
Brad and I talk.
Such a great podcast.
Well, thank you. Awesome. Yeah, we talk lots about how to turn your life on, basically, with tips and what we go through as parents and business people and all sorts of different topics we talk about, but it's great for relationship as well, for yourself mostly, but also if you are in relationship with others.
It's brilliant. Where else can our listeners connect with you? Where should they head?
Yeah, Studio Qi, Studio, and then it's QI at the end. You can go to our website, and we've got, that's the website to our acupuncture business, but we also do, I do one-on-one coaching. I unravel dreams, but also if there's any relationship things going on, I'm going down that area at the moment. We do Skype and in the clinic, Zoom, all those sorts of online one-on-one coaching, and I do the acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and that's at Studio Qi in Burley. So if you're local to the Gold Coast, that's me. But if you needed any questions about finding a good acupuncturist wherever you are, I do have a good way of finding you a good referral, so don't be shy to drop me a line, and I can connect you with a great acupuncturist to help you out with spleen deficiency or whatever you, what's going on.
the myriad of concerns.
Yeah. And of course I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as Tabitha J. Fennell. So that's probably, where you can find us. Me. Find us. There's lots of me.
There's lots of you. And I can just say as well, on a personal level, that Studio Qi is such a beautiful, welcoming space, a very safe space. And, it's a really, really nice place to visit. And you are obviously wonderful and so warm. And I'm so grateful that we had the chance to connect today on the podcast. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Kylie. Awesome. Yay.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.